You people worship Krishna only. Why not demigods? Why not Lord Shiva and Durga? So many. So basically, while discussing this topic, that why to worship Krishna only, it's a prerequisite that you understand that there is necessity to worship some supreme person. You understand that we all are persons, there's a supreme person, and we have to worship him to get our desires fulfilled. So basically, once we understand this, that to achieve the best, you need to worship the best. You cannot worship, you know, subordinates and like that. You have to worship the best if you want to achieve the best. So once we understand this, then we start concocting our own ideas regarding who is the supreme person. But this is a realm where you cannot concoct or speculate your ideas actually, because God is called as Adhokshaja, means that is which is beyond the sense perception basically. So then you cannot give your ideas of having who is the supreme personality of Godhead. So that is why we have to shift ourselves to the scriptures basically, the only source of complete and impeccable knowledge. So regarding this, like, our whole discussion will be based upon how scriptures tell who is the supreme personality of Godhead, what are his characteristics, and obviously we will be discussing about demigods and position of Lord Shiva and all that. So once we understand this, then it's easy to rather answer this fallacies like all gods are equal, or any god you worship, you go to the same destination. So basically, this is the biggest misconception in India, that all gods are alike, and actually you should be broad-minded to, you know, treat all gods equal, and the destination is same, whomever god you worship, like that. That is the biggest misconception. So here, while seeing this point, we have to understand first that what is the god, who god is. Actually, if you see Vedic scriptures, clearly define the supreme person, or god we can say, as Bhagwan. So Bhagwan means the possessor of six opulences. There is one shloka from Vishnu Puran which tells the six opulences of God basically. So that is all strength, all knowledge, all fame, all beauty, all renunciation, and all riches. So anybody who is having these opulences full, first of all, they should be in full, and that too for eternity, he is considered to be the supreme personality of Godhead. So some of us might be having some of these opulences, but first of all, they are not in full. Second, we are not eternal. We are prone to death. So we have to understand that throughout the Vedic pantheon, who is the person who is directed as the supreme personality of Godhead. So if we'll see, Krishna is considered to be the supreme personality of Godhead, and that is confirmed in all the Vedic scriptures. So one by one, if you'll see that strength and all this knowledge. So strength, if you'll see, when Krishna was very small, maybe some months year old, he killed Putana as well as Trinavarta, such big demons. As well as when he was 7 years old, he lifted the Govardhan hill, back to, you know, on left hand. So this proves that, like, he does not have to become God. He was God always from his birth. So, means he is there, always God. So next is all knowledge. So we see that at the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna knows actually past, present, and future. Even Arjuna is there and Krishna is there. But Krishna says that I know all past, present, and future of everybody. So he's all knowledgeable. Then we go to fame. So Krishna, one of the name of Krishna is Uttama Shloka, means one who is glorified by choice poetry. So that is the one measure or that indicates how Krishna is famous. Then Anant Shesha will say, he is glorifying the Lord from the dawn of creation, and still he has not repeated a single glory. So that shows Lord's famous. So similarly, regarding beauty, renunciation, as well as riches, we find that Lord fits all the criteria, that too in full and for eternity. So in this way, we conclude that Lord Krishna is actually Bhagavan. So here now we have concluded Lord Krishna as Bhagavan. So what about other demigods and all this other subordinates? So we have to see here now what are their positions. Because second doubt generally people have is regarding demigods and Vishnu, whether Krishna is, you know, expansion of Vishnu or avatar of Vishnu, or Vishnu is extension of Krishna. Generally, we have this conception of that one of the 10 avatars of Vishnu is Krishna. So basically, actually, the Vedic evidences, you know, certainly go against this. We find in Brahma Samhita, one of the scriptures, that Lord Brahma tells that Dipayate hi Diparshideva, that shloka. In that shloka he tells that just like you see there's one original candle and it kindles some other candles. So these candles may be having same illumination as that original candle, but that original candle stands out actually because that's the original one. So similarly, Krishna is actually considered the original person from whom Vishnu expansions come out. So they are like equally powerful as Krishna, or they are none different than Krishna, but Krishna is the supreme person. That is the point. Then regarding Ram, people say that, you know, Ram appeared before Krishna, so it was in Treta Yuga. So he should be worshipped actually. Krishna comes later. But once we understand this basic principle that Krishna is the main person or the supreme person from which all these incarnations and all these avatars have come out. So we understand even Ramadi Murti Shukalani Mena Tishthan Nana Avatara Makaro the Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Sambhavat Param Pumayo Govindam Adipurushan Tamam Bhajami. Means he has many times descended in the forms of Rama, Krishna, Narasimha, Varaha and all these things. So here we understand Krishna as source of Vishnu. So this regarding this Vishnu and Krishna, there are a lot of misconceptions. So I will try to prove this. I will try to give this analogy of one person who is owner or big business magnate, owner of some thousand of companies. So this person need not go in each and every company and work for the company. What he can do, he can just keep a managing director and he will take charge of whole company. So Krishna exactly does like that. When the need comes to create material creation, Krishna did not take part in that. What he does, he expands himself into Vishnu forms like Mahavishnu, then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, and he handles the material creation. And Krishna himself, actually he is always relishing the pastimes in Golok Vrindavan actually. So one more example is given of that police, traffic policeman who is on duty and one who is at home. So one who is at home, actually he need not bother about the worries of duty and all these things. But at the same time he is there, when he is there at duty, so that time he is responsible for whatever the things are there, his responsibility. So similar is the position of Krishna. So this is the basic difference between, we can say, Vishnu and Krishna. Actually there's one more difference regarding this, that the differentiation is regarding the mellows or rasas, they reciprocate actually. There are five rasas starting from Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. So Lord Vishnu just reciprocates in three rasas only, but Lord Krishna reciprocates in all the five rasas. So that is the difference. So then we again come to this Ram, Vishnu as well as Lord Shiva. This argument is all, basically Lord Shiva is most of them considered as supreme personality of Godhead. So regarding this, we have to understand actually there are this entire cosmic manifestation can be divided into three parts exactly actually: Jiva Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, and Shambhu Tattva. So when we consider Jiva Tattva, actually it includes all the separated parts and parcel of Krishna, right from the Brahma to the lowermost entities. All these demigods come under the category of Jiva. Actually, they are not Swamsha. They are Vibhinnamsha of the Lord. So all of them are actually prone to death and all these things, because as they are sent into the material world, even Brahma is the biggest engineer, but he is not actually eternal. We can see he has a big lifespan, but he is not eternal. So like that, even a normal living entity can become Brahma. He just follows Varnashram Dham for 100 lifetimes. So that's the thing. And then Vishnu Tattva, as we were discussing, Vishnu Tattva includes all Ram, Narasimha and Varaha, all these avatars. So these are plenary portions of the Lord, Swamsha. So these are actually controller, and this Jiva Tattva are controlled. And then the third one is Shambhu Tattva. Basically Lord Shiva, there's a lot of misconception, but Lord Shiva is actually expansion of Lord Krishna. He is an expansion, but actually the basic difference between them is that Lord Shiva is in contact with material nature, but Lord Krishna is not in contact with the material nature. But at the same time, it should be understood that Lord Shiva is not a Jiva, normal Jiva. So even that shloka of Kshiram Dadha, Kshiram Yatha Dadhi Vikara Visheshoga, that explains what is the difference between Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna. It's like they are none and the same. God, as you acidate the milk, it becomes God. So that explains actually what is the relation between Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna. So this is the main fallacy regarding Lord Shiva, that how Lord Shiva is the supreme. And then again people have Durga. Durga, they consider her as supreme. But Durga, if you see, there is external potency of Krishna and there is internal potency of Krishna. So Durga, she is external potency of Krishna. She takes the charge of whole material creation. That shloka is there, which explains in Brahma Samhita that, Durga is the external potency of Lord Krishna, and she has to conduct herself according to the wish of Lord Krishna. So that is the point. So if we will consider in this way, that all the demigods, basically, if we will see throughout the Vedic scriptures and if we will study scrutinizingly, actually you will not find that Lord Shiva or other demigods like Lord Ganesha and all of them, they are, said to be superior, or they are certainly said to be powerful, but never in the Vedic scriptures they will be considered as supreme personality of Godhead, basically. So maybe like Indra can be called as Devadi Dev, or even Lord Shiva is called as Jagdishwar, but Ananta Koti Brahmandanayak, it's basically referred for Krishna, it's never for any other living entity. So in this way we understand actually that what is the difference between all the living entities, primary portions of Vishnu, Lord Shiva, Durga as well as Krishna. So once we understand this, then a natural question may arise that, okay, we have to worship Krishna, but then what will be our role towards the demigods? So actually there may be people who consider themselves to be very staunch worshippers of demigods and like that, but only a Krishna's devotee actually can understand what demigods are, and they only can respect demigods in a proper way actually, because they consider that these are the empowered administrators of Krishna, and they really respect them actually. See, respect does not mean that you have to go and worship the demigods, but you keep respect about them. Just like traffic policeman is like a representative of government, so if you go and just slap him, what will happen? It's like offending the government, isn't it? So similarly, if we disrespect demigods, that's not actually favorable. Even Krishna gets hurted by that. But at the same time, we need not go and say that you are the, saying to the traffic policeman that you are the police superintendent and you are commissioner and you are everything like that. That's not, he will just feel embarrassed. Similarly, when you go to demigods and say that, you are supreme, you are the supreme personality of Godhead, they will actually feel embarrassed. It's not like they are there, because they know that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So actually our real duty is to worship Krishna after understanding all these things. Actually, because of ignorance of this knowledge, people consider that, all gods are equal and whatever god you worship, you go to the same destination. Actually, it's like saying that, there are nine holes to your body. So whichever hole you put through the, put the food through body, it goes to the body and nourishes the stomach. It's like that. So it's basically plausible, might sound plausible, but it's foolish concept actually. So in this way, we understand that how the supreme, Krishna, worshipping Krishna is considered to be the watering the roots of the tree. The basic famous analogy given in Vedic scriptures. Like if you just water the root of the tree, then there's no need to separately water, twigs and leaves and branches. There's no need. So that's what happens when you worship Krishna. Automatically everybody will get pleased. Even all living entities actually. It's said that if you please Krishna, all the living entities get pleased. So that is our purpose. That we don't want to disrespect demigods. At the same time, we know that Krishna is supreme personality of Godhead, and our motive is to develop unalloyed, undeviated devotion at the lotus feet of Krishna. Thank you very much. Hari Bol. Any questions?
Yes. You are giving examples from scriptures. So in one of the scriptures only, Ganapati Atharvashirsham, it is said Brahmastam, Vishnustam, Vayustam, Chandramastam. So how we can understand? On one hand, Brahma Samhita says Krishna is the supreme. On other hand, such other scriptures, they refer some other demigods to be supreme. You know the scriptures? You have heard of this line?
No, I have not heard. Actually, as far as my knowledge, what I have heard, that maybe this all the demigods, they are like appreciated as very powerful administrators and all these things. But never in the scriptures they are actually said to be the supreme personality of Godhead. The basic, you know, whenever this demigod worship is started, they actually start with Vishnu and that ends with Vishnu. So basically, even through the demigod worship, actually what is to be, you know, understood is that it starts with Vishnu. Actually, this is offered to particular demigod. Actually, it is offered to Vishnu first. That is the this thing. And regarding this shloka, better Adeshambhu can explain actually, because I have never heard somewhere basically that Ganesha is considered to be the supreme personality of Godhead.
So your conclusion is that you should only worship Krishna, and Krishna is having all the his Krishna. So, and you said that Krishna can reciprocate in all the five rasas, all the mellows. So why there is a need, like the living entities who reciprocate with him in any way, they can reciprocate. And we give the reason that Vishnu forms are there so that the people who are in mood of awe and reverence, they can worship him. So why there is a need of Vishnu rasas? Means living entities can reciprocate in all the rasas of Krishna. So why there is a separate need of Vishnu rasas? Because the living entities who want to reciprocate in the mood of awe and reverence, or say shantaras, they can do with Krishna also. Same with the sampradaya also, right? If you go to Sri Sampradaya, they don't worship Krishna as explicit. They don't deny, but they worship Vishnu. So why they don't worship Krishna? I got your conclusion.
Every living entity, you know, they are there. Like all these five rasas are considered to be, you know, these pots, like who are equally filled actually. Who are equally filled? That might be like bigger pots, volume might be more, but all are full actually. So even if they reciprocate with any of the rasas, like of the five, it's not that one is lower or one is greater actually. So all the rasas means they get the full pleasure actually, because Lord enjoys with the living entities in many ways actually. Relationships, if we'll consider relationship, like awe and reverence relationship one can be there, but more closer than that is vasalya. Or you know, if you actually Lord gets pleased when living entities don't consider him with awe and reverence basically, and you know, lot of respect and all these things. And more than that is even this, the topmost, the gopis have that bow for Krishna. So there also they, with potency of yoga maya, they forget actually that Lord Krishna, because Lord Krishna also even he doesn't like himself to be always, you know, called with awe and reverence and all that. So he gets much more pleased with all these higher rasas rather than this lower rasas.
My question is that if the living entity wants, if his level is to the level of mood of awe and reverence, so he can do the same with Krishna, why he needs separate, why Krishna needs to expand like that? Why the Vishnu rasas are?
So even with Krishna they can exchange these rasas. These three rasas are there. So like when Krishna expands into Vishnu forms, so like even through with Vishnu they can, you know, reciprocate with. So if what that point is, see, they can also reciprocate with, you know, Krishna with those rasas, with awe and reverence. Yeah. That too with Vishnu also they can, because they are expansions only. Like Vishnu is the expansion of Lord Krishna. So they can reciprocate surely.
Hare Krishna. So ji, Krishna is supreme personality of God. Vishnu also, or any expansion. So means still he follows the Brahma given that boon that you should, like Hiranyakashipu, he has given a boon that you should be, you will not die in particular situation. So why the Lord fulfills that this thing? He is independent. No? So why he follows the living entity like Brahma or like this? Or you can see in Rama, when he was going to crossing the this thing, no? Ocean, that time he worshipped, I don't know, but that he ways to Shiva like that. Why is it?
So, regarding this case that Lord Ram worships Shiva, so actually even if we say that Lord Shiva, Lord Ram worships Shiva, so that does not mean that Lord is subordinate to those. Even Lord Krishna worships Sudama, so that does not mean that, you know, he is subordinate to him or like that. So basically this is out of love of Lord, that actually he wants to, his devotees to get glorified, and he becomes much more pleased if, you know, his devotees worship. So this is just to show us, basically this is shown to the world that how his devotees, you know, glorious. So for that Lord worships, even he, just as he worshipped Lord Shiva. So that's the purpose of the Lord, that he wants to expand the glories of his devotee. So he becomes much more pleased when his devotee is glorified. And second thing regarding this Brahmaji, you were telling that. So basically Lord's pastimes, when they are arranged, so Lord's pastimes, they are arranged regarding at such situations. So it's not that Lord is bound to carry out his order or like that, but it's just a pastime by which, you know, he can arrange the things to come on and, you know, exhibit to the world what pastimes are there his.
But there is no miss. Actually, I have not heard any case that Lord has broken this thing. He always does like that.
What? No, it's not like that. No, if we see case of Indra,
he can go now. Means he is independent. So, but there is, like, I have not heard any like such a incident or any pastime like that.
Well, even you can see the pastime of Indra actually. So Indra, Lord Krishna defies the authority of Indra there. Like he crushes out the pride of Indra actually there in that pastime. So if you see, like, Lord, if Krishna is bound to, you know, follow the what is it, order of Indra or like that, so he would not have been able to, you know, protect this Brajavasis. But there he defies the, you know, order of Indra, and like he does not care basically. He protects his devotees properly. And one more thing is there, that even when Lord comes, like he sets ideal standards of morality and of behavior and other, which we see in the case of Lord Ramchandra. So he sets the ideal standards of morality and for all the people to follow. So, but he is not bound to, you know, follow all these rules and regulations. It's just to set an example for us. That's it.
He doesn't know the history of Lord Krishna. He born in a jail, then he transferred immediately to the Gangastir, he transferred to the Mathura and the Vrindavan. Then he grew up in a family of covered men. Then he grew up, then immediately he went to kill, then he had his girlfriends, then he had, you know, he cheated all of them, and then he immediately went to, you know, have history in the Mathura, then he killed his own uncle. And after killing that uncle, then he married so many wives. After marrying so many wives, he got fear of, you know, the so-called things there. And he went, then he...
So what is the point?
This is just started. Then he went, he ran away because of maintaining so many wives. Then he went in, he created his own kingdom in the sea, out of fear of so many people. Then after that, then he assisted.
So Krishna's life is full of hardships.
Life is not hardship. His good is, I will come, just too late. So if you see the qualities of Lord Krishna, it appears, you know, he is like a, very difficult to make him as a standard of worship. Okay? And on the other hand, he has such a nice brain word, he gets superior desires, he just ask anything. And here you break your head, still you get suffering over it. Now if you know the devotee of Krishna, like Kunti, then his own cousin brothers, they all get into hardship. So if he makes this with his own person, so how should I dare to worship him? He may, you know, I'm not his relative also. Then you may send hello also. So, better that, you know, I should serve such a simple Lord.
I got this.
Simple Lord and be happy, you know. I should travel my life, you know.
So basic difference between Krishna worship and demigod worship is that Krishna gives what you need and demigods give what you want actually. So it's like just, you know, demigods.
What do you mean? Huh? What do you need? You need suffering?
Yeah, that I will come to that. So, you, so once we understand this, that what you want, it's like, you know, a shopkeeper. Like his refreshments may be polluted by, you know, flies and all these things. But some boy comes and pays him required money, he gives that foodstuff. So now you tell me whether this is harmful to that boy or not. Like, you know, tainted with and polluted with lot of flies and all these things. This can cause, you know, diseases. So if you say that he is fulfilling his desire, so it's not, you know, proper actually. Even if, like, that's the beauty of demigod. If you approach them, you satisfy them with whatever offerings they want from you. So they give what you want. Actually, so it may be good or may not be good for you. But once we understand this principle, that actually we are not body, we are spirit souls, and here we don't want to, you know, make our this place as our permanent residence. Actually, this is these things if you see, this you know, all you are saying that wealth and beauty and good husband and all these things. Actually, these things are very detrimental to soul. If we will consider this, actually deadens the spirit. Actually, kills our desire to, you know, go back home, back to Godhead. Why you want some temporary benefit? That's the question, actually. Because there are two problems with demigod, whatever demigods offer. First of all, they are limited, and second is they are temporary. As your, you know, death will come, this will no prove to be no benefit at all. But if you will go to Krishna, he can give, you know, eternal life of all these things.
But I say, Yavuji Sukhaji.
So this is not related to Krishna topic.
You know, you say you are staying in this world, this day very peaceful, no? Why you want to, you know, suffer, you know? These divorces are giving very nice things, no? You just worship them and you live peacefully.
So that's what,
why you want to, you know, endeavor to get miseries, you know?
That's what if one is bodily consciousness, then that is very nice, you know, Yavat Chivat Sukham Jivat. Like you sell, borrow or beg, eat in ghee. So as long as one is bodily consciousness, that's very good. But if we understand that what is, you know, our real nature, we are spiritual, we are not, you know, matter. So then this point comes of what is the ultimate benefit for us. So then you have to worship this. See, first of all, even demigod worship, you will see these demigods, like the whatever benedictions they get, they are enjoying that for eternity. They cannot enjoy at all. Even that lifetime they cannot enjoy. It gets, you know, finished up. So why to go for, you know, something like very intermittent and very temporary? Why you don't want to go for, you know, something higher and eternal? That's my point actually. Because this conception that all these material benefits are very nice and all these things, this is because of bodily consciousness. But we are not bodies, we are spirit souls. So that has to be understood first, and then we know what is good for us. Now at our moment we are like madman, we don't know what is good for us. So that's the point. We, at this stage, we don't know only what is, you know, better for me and what I should ask for. If you are really sincere and really, whatever, you know, you worship demigod, you can say that, please give me the best, whatever it is. Like, he knows what is the best for you. So you can better ask that, you know, what is the best for me, you please give me that. So over a period of time, he may purify you, if you are sincere.
Hare Extreme Personality of Godhead is Anant Koti Brahmandamaya. So, I mean, what is our position? Yes, because approaching a simple superintendent of police or what to talk of Prime Minister is so difficult, you know. You have to take appointment from their subordinates and they don't give you so easily. And you are talking of worshipping the Supreme Person who is the control of everything. I mean, it seems very difficult to approach such a big person.
Well, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that, you know, Tataram Pushpam Phalam Tayam Yome Bhakti Prayachati Tataham Bhakti Paratam Ashnami Prayatatmana. He says that even if somebody offers him a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, he accepts it actually. If you offer it with love and devotion, you need not be, you know, a big person or offering big things to the Lord. He is pleased with whatever, just little. Now it's not that you cannot get leaf, water or, you know, fruit. It's not like that. You can get it anywhere. So if you just offer it with love and devotion, Krishna will accept that. So it's not, you know, necessary that I should also be a big person to approach a big person. It's not that. Krishna is very merciful. You know, he even allows fallen living entities to approach him.
But how will I come to know that he is reciprocating with me?
So that's excellent actually. We have to see through the Shastra Chakshu. At that time, like at this time, we are not purified enough to understand, you know, whether Lord has accepted and all these things. So we understand through Shastras that, you know, Lord is there, like when we offer Bhoga to Lord. So, like we don't see that Lord, you know, is personally eating the Bhoga. But we understand through Shastras that Anjani yasya sakulendriya vrittimanti. That Lord through any of his senses can do any of the work. So he can eat through even eyes. So that's the point. Through Shastra Chakshus, at our condition stage, basically if we'll see through Shastra Chakshus, we can understand the things. And as we'll get gradually purified, we even personally, you know, personally we can see hand of Krishna in our lives.
As you told that the devotee of Krishna only understand the actual position of Krishna, but in Shastra also many places we see that devotees are only they are encouraging demigod worship. Like in one of stotra it said is Sri Narad Purane Sankatna Sang Ganapati Stotra Sampurna. It's like, you know, he's telling to worship Lord Ganesh for, you know, this benefit. So like how can I explain this?
Who is telling?
It's given in that Narad Puran, it's like as per the
chair, but who is the personality speaking there?
It's like that, I don't know.
So he might not be a pure devotee of Lord.
Only pure devotee doesn't tell. Pure devotee will tell always to...
Yeah, actually even demigods if you see they are mixed devotees. See, they are not pure devotees actually. So we have to follow pure devotees. It's like that actually. That, you know, we have to see really who is the person telling that, you know, you worship Lord Ganesha. Or person who wants material benefits, they will surely tell to go for all these things.
Yeah, but like if somebody is saying it is given in Narad Puran, common person will think, yes, you know, like Narad Puran means, you know, it must be like Narad Muni.
That's what I don't know.